One. Welcome to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at you.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No, no.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Hey!
Hello, America and beyond the fruited plain. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell radio program. So happy to be with you on this Friday as we wrap up another busy week of news and conservative common sense values. When we say to you, it's not complicated, you listen and you're like, exactly, that's what I'm thinking. That is what this place is. So if you've stumbled upon us on the airwaves, maybe on Rumble, maybe on Newsmax, hey, welcome to all of you. We're so happy you're here. It appears that the discontent on college campuses is spreading across the coast, right? One side of the country to another. And there are certain states that are handling it better than others. We're going to dig a little bit into this because it's got me angry today. We'll call it fussy. And if you're feeling fussy, well, you've landed in the right zone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hope you enjoy your stay and you come back for more. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. It's sometimes hard for me when I'm deep in the thick of it, right? When I'm mired in something to pull myself back and to get to the nexus of what has me so frustrated. So this morning I was telling Brock, I don't know what my monologue is. We've got a full show, lots going on, some audio sound bites to share with you. I think some interesting insights. But I really don't know what to talk about. So he takes out his phone and he starts going through the text messages that we share back and forth. And he finds whatever it is that I've chirped about multiple times. He's like, obviously that's got you frustrated. And he's right. This whole college thing, these students, these faculty members. Look, I know that I am biased. We just had one of our sons graduate from college within the last 6 months. The second one graduates a week from tomorrow. The third is going to college this summer. And four and five are starting to look. College is in my wheelhouse right now. I know what it pays. I know the cost. And it wasn't that long ago. Yeah, 30 odd years. You guys remember if you went to college. And this whole thing has me so angry that people spend $60,000 to $70,000, which is ridiculous, ridiculous. There's going to be a point where everybody gets out of the pool. I can't afford. I can't go. It's not worth it. You're indoctrinating. Your faculty are triggered activists. That's what's got me today, friends. That very point. It's not that we have kids, and they're kids. I'm sorry. If you're in your early 20s, I'm 54, you're a kid. I'm sure people in their 80s look at me and they're like, still a kid. If you're on campus and you're protesting something that you don't understand or that you've only gotten one side of, I'm sorry. It's a bad look. But when I see this article in the Epic Times today that the University of Texas at Austin, I don't know if you could be more left, if you tried to, than that school right now, the faculty have come out to condemn the school's president for arresting students who are pro-terrorist. Are you out of your mind? No, of course not. This is where all things suck seem to culminate, right? We need to get our kids into that public school system where 49 million of our children are educated every year up to high school. 49 million. And the seeds of this activism, of this indoctrination, are planted at a very young age. And we're seeing it graduate now. But the ugly underbelly of it is malignant teachers, professors, faculty. You know, I have great respect for people who teach because it's not an easy job. I'm going to tell you, when you have a specialized field, oftentimes the people who are teaching are those who were not successful doing what they're teaching you allegedly how to do. I had a college professor at the University of Missouri who pulled me aside as a graduate student. And she told me, you know what? I don't really think you've got what it takes to be a television reporter or news anchor. I'm wondering if maybe you should do something else. And I was like, really? That's fascinating. And of course, that made me work even harder to succeed and achieve. But if we're going to look at these professors, these faculty members, these ne'er-do-wells, apparently, who are more interested in stoking demonstrations and getting angry at a university president at the University of Texas who grew a set and used campus police and local police to squash a demonstration and clear people out, that's the problem. Listen to this. Police arrested dozens of students who walked out of class to protest against Israel on April 24th, right? A faculty group at the University of Texas at Austin has called another protest after it condemned the university president for enforcing school policy when hundreds of students walked out of class Wednesday to occupy campus in protest of Israel's strikes on Gaza. It's a place to learn. Today, our students held firm. This is UT Austin President Jay Hartzell. Enforcing our rules while protecting the constitutional right to free speech. Peaceful protests within our rules are acceptable. Breaking our rules and policies and disrupting others' ability to learn, that's not allowed. Bing, 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 bing. The group that led this protest stated it was going to violate institutional rules. Our rules matter, and they will be enforced. Our university will not be occupied. Hats off to you, Mr. Hartzell. The protesters tried to deliver on their stated intent to occupy campus. People not affiliated with UT joined them, and many ignored university officials' continued pleas for restraint and to beat it. The university did as we said we would do in the face of prohibited actions. We were prepared with the necessary support to maintain campus operations and ensure the safety of the 50,000 people who go to school here. So how about this? So the faculty, butthurt over the dispersal of these protesters, right? They decided to hold their own protest. I'm going to go with something kind of wild here. How about y'all just teach? How about you run a school? How about you run an extraordinary institution? How about if you do one of something that moves the needle for the parents and the students who are paying hundreds of millions of dollars every year to go to these schools, right? No, the UT Austin chapter of the American Association of University Professors denounced the university's president for allowing law enforcement to be deployed to the campus where the Palestine Solidarity Committee held its protest against Israel. This is what they said. We, faculty at UT Austin, condemn President Jay Hartzell and administrative leaders' decision to invite city police as well as state troopers from across the state on horses, motorcycles, bicycles, in riot gear and armed with batons, pepper spray, tear gas, and guns to our campus today in response to a planned peaceful event by our students. It's not peaceful if Jewish students feel they are in danger. This is This is your faculty at a leading institution, one of the finest in the state of Texas. These are the clowns who are teaching our children. Because I was curious. I'm like, what do you think the faculty Republican to Democrat ratio is out there? You think there are a lot of Republicans out there teaching in academia? Sadly, they are not, which is why you have this incubating system where teachers who are really activists get to poison their students with very specific curricula meant to create the next generation. So I did a little digging. There's an article on this website I saw. Now, this is 2016. Faculty voter registration in economics, history, journalism, law, and psychology. What do you guys think the ratio is? Listen to this. We investigate the voter registration of faculty at 40 leading U.S. universities in the fields of economics, history, journalism, mass communication, law, and psychology. We looked up 7,243 professors. We found half of them, exactly 50%. That's the numbers that they got. They only got like 60%, 55% of the people to respond. 3,623 were registered Democrats. 314 were Republican. 10 to 1. The Democrat to Republican ratios for the five fields were economics, 4 Democrats for every 5 Republicans. History, 33 Democrats for every 5 Republican faculty members. How about this in journalism, my field? 20 to nothing. 20. There are no registered Republicans teaching journalism and mass communication. Law, 8 to 6, Democrats to Republicans in psychology, 17 to 4. Do our kids have a chance? Is college even worth it? Well, if you look at the University of Texas as just a slice, I'm pretty sure you can extrapolate what your students are being spoon-fed and forced to regurgitate for grades. It's time to rethink education, ladies and gentlemen. Right? That's what's got me fussy today. How about you? When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, we got to talk about this. Would a Trump conviction impact voters? Would they change how they view about Donald Trump and maybe switch? Oh boy, I got it for you next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So before I give you this poll, which is really very interesting, I want to tell you about this American Association of University Professors. This sounds like a real open-minded bunch of diverse thinkers, don't you think? Of course not. It's a homogenized bunch of leftist crybabies, right? With man buns, skinny jeans, kayaks, electric vehicles, hacky sacks, wool socks, Birkenstocks. There you go. I painted the picture. You know where I'm going. So they have apparently 500 different campus chapters of this American Association of University Professors. And this group at the University of Texas is calling for more counter-protests. Screw you, University President Jay Hartzell. Screw you, students who came to this university and paid through the nose to get here. And by the way, it's hard as balls to get in there. It's so difficult to get in to the University of Texas, Austin. Imagine having a kid who's like one of the few who did and now is going through this. This is what this group of faculty sent out. No business as usual tomorrow. No classes, no grading, no work, no assignments. Gather at the main hall in front of UT Tower at 12:15 p.m. as planned. Wait a minute. These are the people teaching our kids. So I did a little digging on this. American Association of University Professors. Do you know they have a stated mission? You want to know what it is? It's not to teach. It's not to reach young minds and shape future leaders of America. It's nothing that altruistic. Unfortunately, you ready? All right, here we go. The stated mission of the American Association of University Professors is to advance academic freedom. What does that mean? To advance academic freedom and shared governance There is absolutely nothing in there about teaching. There is nothing in there about education. There is nothing in there about learning. There is nothing in there about growth. There's shared governance. What the hell are you talking about? And what's academic freedom? Because there is no academic freedom when you cherry pick certain people to get into colleges and universities to check boxes that BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street have told us take precedence. How about you? You, American Association of University Professors, how about you do this? Suck it. How about that? Is that good? Everybody okay? Excellent. I feel much better now. Jerks. Our kids don't stand a chance. Trade school. Boom. Trade school. Breitbart.com, national poll. Majority of likely voters say a Trump conviction would have no effect on their vote. Things are getting super gnarly. Supreme Court is going to hear this immunity, presidential immunity. They've already been talking about it. They've been here, you know, talking to the attorneys for the DOJ about it. They seem to be on Trump's side with this, that as your president of the United States, you have certain leeway to do certain things. I mean, not to accept diamonds from China and, you know, millions of dollars from foreign government because you suck. But you do actually have a little bit of leeway. Well, apparently, according to this poll, regardless of what happens with this Manhattan hush money case, which seems to be the only one that's going to gain any traction before the election, people are like, yeah, I've already made up my mind. We know what's going on. Here's your story. I find it fascinating. Everything these people have tried to throw at Donald Trump has done the exact opposite. It's been the absolute opposite. They want to whittle away, embarrass you about Donald Trump. And instead, they have awakened voters who had for years believed what they've said and are now walking away. A majority of likely voters say a conviction of crime in any of former President Donald Trump's various legal cases would have no effect on their vote choice. This is a UNF Florida National Survey released hours ago. It found Trump edging out Biden nationally by 2 percentage points and asked respondents, if Donald Trump were convicted of a crime in any of his pending criminal cases, would you be more likely to vote for him, less likely to vote for him, or would there be no effect on your vote choice? Overall, most, 67%, said it would have no effect on their voting choice. Do you know what a resounding defeat that is to the left? To Barack Obama, who sees this as his ability to finish the job, to officially shut the door on what makes America special. What an absolute black eye. Most Republicans and independents, we would expect 81%, 60% respectively, said it would have no effect on their voting choice. Notably, 16% of independents said a criminal conviction would make them more likely to vote for Trump. 27% said it would make them less. Well over 3/4 of Republicans, 77%, said a criminal conviction would have no effect. How about, right? He's charged with 34 felonies just in this New York trial, just in this stupid hush money trial. 34. And you have people who say, you know what? Doesn't matter because we're paying attention. And boy, are they. Did you see what Trump did yesterday? Awesome. Yesterday morning before we took the air, Donald Trump did something that I do not believe Alvin Bragg or Judge Merchan or anybody out there on the left could have possibly foreseen. He took all of the oxygen out of Manhattan. And I'm going to tell you how he did that and why it is so dang delicious to wake up and love America today. We'll be back right after this on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Little Megadeth wakes you up first thing. You know, I think it must be so terrible to spend so much time and energy to allow Donald Trump to live inside your mind and drive your ire and make you one of those grumpy, fist-clenched leftists. It must be so disappointing to see that the endless barrage of allegations, litigation, of accusations about sexual impropriety, about financial malfeasance, about Donald Trump being a racist and a homophobe and an Islamophobe, and all of this mumbo jumbo, nothing sticks. And in fact, it has the actual adverse, or rather inverse, result. His popularity goes up. More and more people awaken to this guy. I sometimes sit back and we look at the video of Joe Biden somewhere at an event. He's trying to do this or that. He shakes hands with the air. He reads things like, pause on the teleprompter because he's clearly demented. And the people around him look like they're watching a train wreck. And they're collectively holding their breath. And it's like, what's going to happen? And they're on pins and needles. Nobody's smiling. There's nothing exciting going on. There's no noise. Everybody's just holding their breath like, oh my gosh, is he going to get through this? And it's just so uncomfortable. You can slice it, right? Like, you don't have to be able to feel the barometer. You don't have to be able to feel the pressure in the room to be like, oh my gosh, everybody's miserable. And then on the flip side, Donald Trump goes somewhere, as he did yesterday in Manhattan, where he is shackled and gagged, right? He can't deviate from Judge Juan Merchan's directive. You've got to be in court every single day. Why? Obviously, to keep him from campaigning. So what is Trump doing? Well, he is stealing the oxygen and the enthusiasm and the attention from every single one else, every other headline. Wherever he goes, a crowd gathers. And that was certainly the case yesterday. So I guess he's got to be in court super duper early. 6:30 in the morning, Donald Trump with a motorcade, Secret Service all over the place, show up at a construction site. And he gets out of his limousine and just starts talking with the workers. It's so elemental. Right? It's so basic. It's not complicated. Joe Biden doesn't do that. Joe Biden goes to raise money with Jennifer Lopez and George Clooney. Hollywood does not represent our interests. These are not people who share our values. They don't have your struggles. They don't go to bed at night worrying about making the next mortgage payment. They don't think, I doubt, as they hear the clock tick on in the darkness of the night. They don't think about how hard they're working and how their money isn't going very far. Donald Trump steals the spotlight. They can't stop it. They try to make him a prisoner, and instead he's using this to turn New York red. It's remarkable. And I want to hear, you're going to hear some audio sound bites, but let me just set this up for you, okay? A New York, this is from Breitbart, a New York union leader says that Democrat policies are pushing voters towards Republicans and that the vast majority of his 9,000 members back former President Donald Trump over President Joe Biden. Guy's name is Bob Bartels. He is the manager of the Steam Fitters Local 638. And he got kind of caught up with both Newsmax and Fox News on Thursday in Manhattan after Trump stopped by a construction site on his way to his business records trial. And he told Newsmax, Bartels did, correspondent Addison Smith, that it was very exciting that Trump stopped by the site, emphasized that most of his members are former Democrats. But far-left policies are driving blue-collar workers to the right. I mean, can they jack this up anymore? You've alienated black voters. You've awakened Hispanic voters who've been here lawfully, who do the job, who work their tails off, who are seeing people from foreign countries, hopscotch them, get all this free crap, you're turning them off. Generation Z knows they can't afford crap. They're miserable. Thanks, Joe Biden. You've alienated them. And now you're going to take union members and you're going to tick them off by shutting down the Keystone XL pipeline on day number one, because that's what you're about to hear was the open hand slap across the face for these steam fitters. So let's go with some of these audio sound bites. Newsmax is down on the ground at this construction site. Hey, you know how cool Donald Trump is here. What do you think? It seems like a lot of you guys are super excited to see the president. You know, doesn't America usually think of unions as being Democrats? Well, what's your response to all this? It's priceless, and you'll understand the beep. Go.
What's it like seeing so many Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan? Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. It's turning now. Trump's turn again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
F*** you.
What? 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 I mean, gloves off, guys.
And that's a guttural response. He wasn't even thinking about, like, I can be witty.
So
that was just his response.
What's your comment to Joe Biden? F you. Fungu. You suck. You've lost us. How about this guy? Another union worker. His message to Joe Biden. Listen.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
Joe Biden, give it up.
Give it up. Don't run for re-election. We're not voting for you. You almost kind of get that magic eight ball glimpse into the future. Magic eight ball. Is everybody awakening? Tell me. What's going on? As I see it, yes. Hell yes. How about this guy? This is just some fellow on the street, super pumped, saw that Trump was around. He put on his hat. I forget what it says. It doesn't say make America great again, but it's of that ilk. And this reporter says, well, what was it like? Listen. Listen to the this is the distinction. This is what people are seeing, feeling, and all of it. Donald Trump versus Joe Biden. Go.
How was it seeing the former president?
Oh, it was absolutely incredible to see him on the streets of Manhattan, meeting up with, you know, your working class folks here, the type that are out working hard at 6 a.m. It was my first time ever meeting him, and it was really dope. So,
what's your message to Joe Biden?
My message to Joe Biden: I haven't seen you anywhere. I hope New York turns red because we're not voting for you.
What? He's got a hat on with an American flag and like on the side, and it says "American worker." You have crapped on the American worker, Joe Biden. And you've done it for years. And so what does Donald Trump do? It's like making lemonade, right? Somebody hands you the lemon and you're like, well, what can I do with this? I can't do a whole lot, but let's see what we can make. I can stop by that bodega in Harlem, and I can show people who have been abused and ignored by their federal government and local government, I'm here. What do you have to lose? That's what he's saying quietly by showing up. Go to a construction site, really? Go to a pizza shop? Go to a diner? Go to a frat house? Because Joe Biden's not going. Go to a funeral home to pray with the widow and the one-year-old son of a fallen, slain New York police officer? Do you think people don't see that? Of course they do. So one of these steam fitter guys, he's an apprentice. He's a young guy. His name is, let me see, it's Jason something or other. He is on with Jesse Waters yesterday. And Jesse's like, hey, what was it like to have the president here? What was that like? You're a welder. And the president signed your welder's mask. What was that like? This is Jason Murray talking about just the sheer joy of seeing Donald Trump. Listen.
So you heard the soundbite of your chief. He said that it's 3-1, Trump to Biden. Was it always like that? Didn't the unions in Manhattan used to be more liberal?
Yeah, just 4 years ago, you could even see that our union, they said to support Biden. And then immediately the week after he got into office and took over, laid off 10,000 of our workers, some of my brothers.
You know. He laid them off.
Laid them off. The job was gone. They were out working on the pipeline, shut down the pipeline. Now all these guys that had jobs out there working, trying to provide for their family, now they don't have a job anymore.
Executive actions have consequences. And when your actions are not congruous with the lies that you spew every day through propaganda, pumped out by the mainstream media, which is in your pocket, or by your token mouthpieces, who all are terrible, you're not fooling anyone. You're not fooling anyone. So then Jesse continues, he said, what happened to change your union's Democrat leanings towards Donald Trump? What is it that happened to you? Listen.
What else started to change that shifted your political leanings in the union towards Trump?
Well, just the cost of living, just going through the roof. Everything that they promised, they say more work, they say all this, and then all of a sudden they turn around, all these illegal immigrants coming in. I mean, Kathy Hochul, she was trying to give our work away. So it's like you say the Democrats, you're here for the working man, yet here you're trying to give our jobs away to people that don't even have legal status here yet.
Do you know how disconnected the Democrat Party is? They think we don't pay attention to this. They think that if they tell you something or they put out a press release, that makes it all okay. But nobody's buying any of the garbage anymore. And then finally, hey, Mr. Apprentice Welder guy, tell me, what is it like today vis-a-vis Donald Trump 4 years ago? What's your vibe on this, sir? Listen.
I have conversations with guys on the job sites all the time. And 2018 was one of the busiest times that any of us can remember in construction. And that was during his presidency.
So it hasn't been as active with Joe Biden?
No, not at all.
When you see Trump, I guess he's there at 6:30 in the morning. He's shaking hands and he's getting back to his freezing cage in court. How does that make you guys feel?
It's a great feeling. And our business manager, who was on TV, he reached out to every single presidential candidate to see if they wanted to address our membership. And he got a response directly from Trump, directly from RFK. And he has not received a single email or memo from Biden or his team.
Wow.
All of it matters. All of it. You can only lie so much, right? And so that young man, Jason Murray, a welder with the steam fitters there in Manhattan, he said, thousands of my brothers lost their jobs when he bagged the Keystone XL pipeline. They pushed this electric vehicle garbage. Wait just a second. How's it going for Ford? Oh my, my. Not so great. I've got some details that will blow your mind next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Well, it seems this rush to get out there and have everybody buy an electric vehicle isn't going so swimmingly. I mean, it's bad enough that you got a government that gives billions of dollars in government contracts to a company called Proterra, in which the Secretary of Energy, Jennifer Granholm, has buku stocks in, doesn't tell people until it comes out that, isn't that kind of a conflict of interest? Should you honestly be approving contracts and doing press things for a business that you have stock in? Oh, well, I didn't really mean that. Like, I didn't know I had that. How about this now, though? JustTheNews.com. Headline. Oh my gosh, this must really suck if you're Ford. Ford lost $132,000 on each vehicle it sold in the first quarter of 2024. Say what? Ford lost all that money? No duh. Stop forcing crap on people who don't want it. And then don't push it through and say it's a climate emergency, it's a climate crisis, and we've got to do this when you're allowing China to build two coal-powered plants, right? Every week, But here in America, you've got to fundamentally change every single thing that you do. Obviously, to get you on some central nervous system grid, the switch that they control, everybody knows what's going on. But this is a real wah, wah for Ford. Ford announced Wednesday losses of what? $1.32 billion on its Ford Model E sector, which represents the company's electric vehicle business. With 10,000 units sold, nobody wants them. The company lost $132,000 on each EV it sold. Is there an idea that comes from the left that doesn't suck? Because I'm searching for it. Isn't this the same thing as we're going to spend $400 godzillion and we're going to get all of these COVID tests, right? Don't mention that they're all made in freaking China. Oh, you mean the epicenter of the virus? Oh, yeah, that's right. Really? And then how many of those kits were contaminated? Expired, right? How much money does our government waste every damn day as Joe Biden and company come out and try to tell us, you know what? Capital gains, 44%. That makes sense. The money that you make that gets taxed when you make it. The money that you make that gets taxed if you invest it and save it. You get taxed on dividends. You get taxed with interest. You get taxed on it how many freaking ways? And then lo and behold, you're like, you know what? I have children. I'd like to leave my estate, whatever actually exists of it, to my children after I pass away. I've surely paid enough taxes on it, haven't I? No! Joe Biden and his administration think that they should have their hands on half of it. Screw your kids. Screw your grandkids. What? They, in the fourth quarter of 2023, Ford sold 34,000 units. 34,000 units. Ladies and gentlemen, we are a country now of more than 340 million people. They've beaten the drum of you are a bad person if you drive an SUV or you're not completely down with changing to this electric nonsense. And all they could sell at Ford was 34,000 lousy electric vehicles. Ooh, isn't that the same as these 9,000 steam fitters? Three out of four saying they're going to vote Trump. It's the same thing. Americans, hardworking Americans, people like you, people like me, you see what's going on and you're not buying it. And their efforts to propagandize you and to wax poetic about what a great person you are, saving the planet, so special, right? As we see Greta Thunberg staging her arrest at this climate nonsense or that, and we see Bill Gates and John Kerry and bloated blowhard Al Gore, the freaking pimps of climate debacleness, just made up a word, flying all over the world to preach to you about cutting down your carbon footprint. And when asked about it, they're like, look, I do so much good that I get a pass. You people, you minions, you do what I say, but I have to fly around the world and be very important. And nobody does that, flying coach. It's not working. It's not sustainable. It was a stupid idea. And Congress going woo over these ridiculous contracts that they can then purchase shares of and get rich off of. Really? This is all falling apart at the seams. And desperation has ensued. How on earth are they going to stay relevant when everybody out there knows what is going on? Well, that's a great segue into our next segment. Because Joe Biden, it seems like he's even losing some part of the legacy media. Your New York Times is saying it's dangerous for a president to be AWOL and to refuse to sit down for interviews. What? Is the perfect union in danger of divorce? Oh, indeed. I got the bread, you get the gravy, and we'll rejoin in minutes right here on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.